We have the privilege of receiving communion together this morning, receiving this amazing gift that God has provided for us, and especially remembering what this gift represents. Just the kind of the mechanics, if you believe in Jesus, if Jesus is your source of salvation, if you're trusting in Him alone for your salvation, then we invite you to join with us, no matter what your background is, what your church history is. We want you to share in this gift, this receiving of communion together as the body of Christ. The elements are on the sides, and in a few minutes after I pray, we'll go and receive the elements. I really encourage you to not go by yourself. Even as a couple, go with someone else, because communion is a time where we're sharing together. We're having our communion with the Lord, but we're also having this communion together because, as we're going to see, communion, the celebration of communion is about remembering and about proclaiming. We're remembering what Jesus did, and we're proclaiming it. And I think primarily we're proclaiming it to each other. The world may see and hear and kind of understand, but we need to be reminding each other. So step out of your comfort zone. Invite someone else to go to the table with you and when the time comes, and share in that communion together. The words that Paul used to instruct us about communion are fairly familiar. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Since the theme this morning is the Word of God, let's take every opportunity we have to look at it together. Rather than just listening to it, let's look at it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given it, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Paul's real clear about the part about remembering. He repeats it. We see something in Scripture, we should pay attention. When we see it repeated, we should pay maybe a little more attention. So the remembering part is what communion is about. What exactly do we remember? What are we remembering? It says remembering the death of Jesus, proclaiming his death until he comes. What are we remembering when we take the bread and the juice? Well, pretty much the thing that we think of first is we're remembering he died for our sins. We're remembering our salvation. We're remembering what he did to accomplish our redemption. And that's clearly key. That's clearly important. And we need to be remembering that, because we often forget about it and forget how significant it is. And we need to be proclaiming it and reminding each other about that, because that's our hope in eternity. Our salvation, our eternal life, our eternal fellowship with the triune God. That's our hope in eternity. But I want to look at something else that I think we should be remembering. And for that, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 18. Again, as we read this, think about remembering the Lord's death in communion and what Peter has to say to us here. 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 18. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God. A person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus is our redemption and provides us our hope in eternity. He's also our example, who shows us an example of our attitude and our behavior right here and now when things seem hopeless. The context in this, we could have read most of 1 Peter. The context is unjust suffering. Peter talks about politics, about the king before this passage. He talks about marriage after this passage when things aren't going so well. In this passage, he talks about servants and masters, about just an unfair situation at work. He talks about enduring, when you do right, enduring suffering patiently. Just life in general. When life just doesn't seem fair. When your work situation, your family situation, your health situation just isn't right. It just doesn't seem right. Peter says, think about these words in verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose. We were called to be saved. We were called to go to heaven. That's why what we think about. We were also called to imitate Jesus and how he reacted, how he responded or didn't respond to more injustice than we'll ever face. Verse 23. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. And I know some translations are a little bit different on this next part, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Some translations say he entrusted himself. Well, kept entrusting himself is better. It's a better translation because it's a continuous, repeated action. If you don't remember anything else from what I'm talking about here when you're receiving the elements, keep those words in mind. He kept entrusting himself. Every lash from the scourge when they were whipping him, he kept entrusting himself over and over and over again to him who judges righteously. Every mocking jeer as he's carrying his cross down the road and when he's on the cross, he kept entrusting himself to him who judges justly over and over and continuously. And every pound of the hammer on the nails, he kept entrusting himself. That's our model. Peter says, for this purpose, we have been called because of to imitate Christ's example in whatever we're facing, whatever really terrible life circumstance we're in, or maybe even not so terrible, just inconvenient, just uncomfortable. This is how we're supposed to respond, to keep entrusting ourselves to him who judges justly. That continuous, repeatedly, every day at work, things are rotten. I want to keep entrusting myself. My health is not improving. I want to keep entrusting myself. My family situation is hard. I want to keep entrusting myself, not for a week or a day or a year, but over and over and over again, because that's the model that Jesus gave us. The second thing about that phrase, kept entrusting himself, not only is it repeated, continuous action, the same word that's used here is used over 100 other places in the New Testament, and it's usually translated abandoned or betrayed. When Judas handed over Jesus to the soldiers, this is the word that's used. Jesus handed himself over. He entrusted himself, but it's much more powerful. He just gave himself up. He handed himself over to the Father. He handed himself. He abandoned himself. He abandoned his rights. He abandoned his self-defensiveness. He abandoned the injustice of the situation that he had a right to not be doing this. He abandoned himself. He handed himself over. And he kept doing that over and over again, just saying, Father, this is awful. This is, but this is, I want to do this because I want to display what it's like to trust God. That's our example. That's what we were called for, this purpose. So the elements, as we take these elements, as you hold a cracker in your hand, as you taste the juice, think about what's the most unjust thing that you're facing right now in your life, at work, your health, in your family situation, your neighbors, somebody at church. What's the most unjust situation that you're facing? And what would it look like to abandon yourself over and over and over again to the one who judges righteously, the one who judges justly? So remember our salvation, remember our eternal hope, but also remember this. This is a reminder tomorrow at work or with your family or when you see your doctor or when you face your neighbor. This should be a reminder, oh yeah, I need to keep entrusting myself. I need to keep handing myself over to the one who judges justly. Pray with me. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you as recipients. We come to you desiring these elements and desiring what they represent. And Lord, we're glad for our redemption and our eternal hope. But it's hard over and over and over again to keep entrusting ourselves to you in just relentlessly bad situations. Lord, use this as a reminder that when we remember your death, we remember both our hope in eternity and how to respond in present hopelessness. Father, you are the one that we want to honor. You are the one that we want to glorify by our actions, by our behavior. And you are the ones that we entrust ourselves to. You are the one who judges righteously. There is no question about that. And we have to be able to see that more and more in your character. Help us to know that more and more about you. Jesus, Son of God, you are the one who did this. You are the one who set the example. You are the one who suffered more injustice in a few hours than we'll suffer in our whole lives. And you didn't revile back, and you didn't insult, and you didn't attack, and you didn't defend yourself. You entrusted yourself over and over and over again. And Lord, show us how to do that. Help us to see more and more of that in you in Scripture. And Holy Spirit, you are our only hope. You are the only way we can do this. We want to defend ourselves and lash out and manage and manipulate things. You are the only one that can change our hearts. You are the one that can remind us of our eternal hope, and you are the one that can remind us to keep handing ourselves over to the one who judges justly. Well, Lord, we want you to do that. We want to do what Peter says. We want to follow the example of Jesus. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be your kingdom now and forever. Amen.